Get ready for Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith.
Rebecca Blacksmith.
Take a host with a few Ivy League graduate degrees, a room full of bright CEOs, and throw in a conversation about leadership. Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith. For all leaders listening right now.
Right now. Right now.
You're listening to Leaders Portfolio. I'm your host, Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith. We are now accepting applications for this year's Leaders Portfolio Awards, recognizing top businesses and business leaders with their commitment to leadership. Find an application now at leadersportfolio.com. Joining us in the Leaders Portfolio studio today, the CEO and founder of the Menchiti Group, Mr. Beau Menchiti. The Menchiti Group is a real estate services company in Washington, D.C. that emphasizes urban communities and was ranked number 337 on the Inc. 500 list in 2011. Mr. Beau Menchiti is also the CEO and founding partner of Keller Williams Capital Properties. Welcome, Beau.
Welcome. Well, glad to be here. It's an honor to be here.
And your wife, I saw listed, as your director of sales. And so she kind of helps lead this company with you?
Yeah, for the past actually 4 years, I've had the honor of being able to work side by side with my wife. She got involved in the business as we started to grow and has been able to add a whole nother dimension to the sales function in our business.
And what were the founding principles of the Menchiti Group? Now, I know we were talking actually earlier in the green room about how we both actually care about the, you know, at-risk youth issue in mm-hmm. different ways. And somehow that tied in for you.
Yeah. Prior to the Menchiti Group, I was the chief operating officer of a nonprofit organization called College Summit that worked with low-income high school students to apply to college. And I had the opportunity to get involved with College Summit when it had this model that had been proven and was really being effective working with young people between their junior and senior year of high school and helping walk them through the college application process. And for a lot of folks that were first-time, first-generation college goers, the navigating that process was really the challenge for them. That organization had done some amazing work and was really getting ready to scale. And so I spent about 4.5 years helping that organization grow and expand around the country, a tremendous opportunity to really see the way the growth of an organization could impact communities in this country. And coming out of there, I really had a passion for education and community change. The work we were doing at College Summit took place over time. So here we were sort of changing the course of a young person's educational career. And really the dividends that got paid from that really happened way out in the future. And I was always frustrated by this challenge of, hey, we're creating all this value. How do we capture it right now mm-hmm. so that we can help this organization continue to grow and expand and do more good work? So got fascinated by real estate. I had a couple of real estate properties in Washington, D.C., and was living actually in the Columbia Heights area of Washington, D.C., and seeing all the change going on around me, got really fascinated the role that real estate played in sort of how communities came together and how they developed, and got this idea stuck in my head that, hey, real estate's this really tangible, hard asset. It's worth the same whether you use it for good or use it for bad. It sort of has a market mm-hmm. value. And so was there a way to take some of those same principles that we've been applying in the public sector on the nonprofit side and apply them in the real estate market in a way that could create positive change in communities.
So name some of those principles.
Yeah,
so what do you do different than another
real estate developer? A lot of our focus has been looking at existing assets. So a lot of what we learned at College Summit was that there were a lot of unique, tangible skills that young people had that often got overlooked if you just looked at grades or test scores. So a lot of the process that we were going through at College Summit was to look at what we called sort of the mid-tier student, who was the peer leader, who maybe had personal experiences, was maybe taking care of a sibling at home, had a sick parent, had shown leadership, had shown capabilities in their life that weren't necessarily getting picked up when you said, hey, let's reduce them to a couple of numbers. We do the same thing with communities. We go into communities and we say, hey, what's a community that has a great underlying architectural infrastructure? Maybe that's been neglected. But what are the bones of the buildings that maybe were, that have been created years ago that are maybe lying in neglect now? How do we start to see what that underlying asset is? So we've done a lot of work in a community that has great access to transportation, had a couple of employment centers close by in terms of hospital centers, had some educational institutions in the neighborhood as well, but it sort of hadn't had change for a long period of time and was really suffering from a tremendous amount of neglect. So it was an opportunity to go in and look at a neighborhood differently and to look at real estate assets from a different lens that sort of looked at what their underlying assets of that community were and how do you bring them back.
And since you're dealing with often lower income communities, mm-hmm. are you getting federal funds to do this, or what's, name your client.
Yeah, we started out all with private sector dollars. Our work has a lot of overlap with local and federal programs. And over the past couple of years, we've gotten involved more specifically with the NSP program, which is a neighborhood stabilization program that was really focused on how you prevent sort of the foreclosure rash from creating blight in neighborhoods. So we've partnered with them as well as some local nonprofits and most recently the district government to work in that area, in a couple of neighborhoods, focusing on vacant and abandoned property that's sort of been hit either through foreclosure or just had a long term, been sitting there vacant and abandoned for a long time, bringing that back into productive use and being able to create affordable housing with that underlying asset.
And you're also the CEO and founding partner of Keller Williams Capital Properties. Mm-hmm. Are you also being a real estate agent as well, or is that also developer?
Brokerage, yeah. So the sort of the history of it was when I first decided I was going to start a company, I didn't have any great sum of money, knew that I was passionate about real estate, and was at an age where people were getting really interested in housing. So I started out as a real estate agent, originally with Coal Banker on Capitol Hill. Selling homes and helping what then was sort of a pretty broad network of people that I knew in the city buy their homes and also make investments and took every commission dollar I could make from that and would invest it first in buying one house and fixing it up, then in buying a small commercial property. Over the years, that business expanded and grew. And in 2006, we opened the first Keller Williams franchise in Washington, D.C. That's grown into Keller Williams Capital Properties, which is now the Washington, D.C. area's fastest growing residential real estate brokerage. We have 5 offices and over 330 real estate agents working out of those offices, helping people buy and sell property throughout the area. So that's really been something that was not what I set out to do, but the passion that we brought to working with people and with communities sort of expanded and took on a life of its own. It's been amazing to see.
So is it like 50-50 of your time of the two things or?
Yeah. It's ebbed and flowed with the different growth pressures of the organizations. I spend a lot of my time on the development side of the business. And increasingly, I've had to spend more time with Keller Williams Capital Properties as we've really continued to grow and expand. We really see an opportunity on the brokerage side to help shape the future of the real estate industry in our area and across the country. For many years, the average demographics of real estate companies, there's really been a powerful leadership generation that's been involved in real estate. But that generation is really sort of aging out of the business. Those companies are sort of reaching some of the sunset of their time. And there's really an opportunity for new energy to sort of relate to the new buying consumer and selling consumer who's coming into the market right now. And we've been able to really get our arms around that and pull that into the company.
Excellent. We are speaking with the CEO and founder of the Menchetti Group, Mr. Bo Menchetti. And we were talking about earlier about some of these, about urban issues and kind of lower income areas being a partial target for your real estate mm-hmm. development company. And this work was featured in David Bornstein's book on social entrepreneurs and also in Stephen Goldsmith's book, The Power of Social Innovation. So you've already kind of created an impact and then you've been written about, which mm-hmm. is great. And then you just told me earlier that you just made some other kind of top 10 list for companies in inner cities as well.
Yeah, the Initiative for a Competitive Inner City every year in partnership with Fortune magazine puts out a list of the top 100 fastest growing companies that are headquartered in inner cities and that employ folks from the inner city. And we were very honored to be ranked as the number one in D.C. and number 9 in the whole country in terms of growth on that list.
So. Have you been trying to grow the last couple of years, or did it just kind of happen?
Yeah, it's actually interesting. We got into the real estate business at a time when most people were shrinking. People were getting out of the real estate business. It wasn't cool to be in real estate, and in many ways that worked to our advantage. It allowed us to really carry forward a sound platform. An investment strategy that was really based on fundamentals and on creating value in the assets that we were buying and being able to reposition normally at discounted prices to the folks that were buying them. And then on the brokerage brokerage side, it kept us focused on the fundamentals of the business. A lot of folks had gotten very lax in sort of the, as the market run-up had occurred. And so we entered at a time when people were having to tighten their belts. And so we ended up having to operate very efficiently from the beginning. So in many ways, it created a great opportunity. It also created a lot of pain in the market. There were people struggling to keep their homes. There were folks who were looking to get into the market and buy their first home. And because of some of the fluctuation in lending regulations, it was making it very hard for folks to navigate that process. So in many ways, as realtors and as folks doing community-based development, we were needed more than ever. And so that is part of what's created the demand. I don't think we got into this saying, hey, we just want to grow really fast. Mm-hmm. We got into it saying, hey, there's a fundamental need in the community that we see that we want to serve. And that need's turned out to be larger than we originally thought.
Yeah. Now, I got a Forbes business quote for you. This is from Thomas Paine. Those who expect to reap the blessing of freedom must undertake to support it. Those who expect to reap the blessing of freedom must undertake to support it. Thomas mm-hmm. Paine. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think there's a we have a little saying. One of our core beliefs or perspectives is about an ethic of service, and this we talk about this idea that we serve to profit and we profit to serve. This idea that we're fundamentally in a service business, so we show up every day with a servant's heart. This idea that we're here to serve each other, the folks in our organization, and the clients that we serve, and if we do that effectively. We're in business, so that generates resources. It generates income, and that if when we have that opportunity to be blessed with that income, we have obligation to find a way to turn around and deploy that in effective ways in the community. We've done that on the brokerage side. There's a portion of every single commission done by all of our agents that goes back into a fund that focuses on education and housing for folks in the communities where our offices are located. And on the development side and within the Minkiti Group sales team, we've been able to get very focused and do that not just through philanthropic contributions, but through the work we do every day. I think there's this debate in our country all the time about, hey, if you're going to go into business, make money, and then go do something good separately.
Right.
And we've always, mm-hmm. that has never sort
wrong
of,
debate.
I've never been able to stomach that. I've always felt, hey, why don't we take our greatest talents, our greatest treasures, and apply them to create businesses, but also to make a difference at the same time. And I think that quote really encompasses that. I think sometimes as business leaders, we let ourselves off the hook for the responsibility we have to create the wonderful things that we experience in this country every day as business people to make sure that we're creating that in the communities around us.
Well, I think you just gave us your leadership philosophy in that answer. Now, and Bo, you have a bachelor's from Harvard. Mm-hmm. So that's excellent. And we just, at this point, want to thank you for being on Leaders Portfolio. Mm-hmm. So appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing your story.
Thanks. It was great being here.
CEO and founder of the Minkiti Group, Mr. Bo Minkiti, joining us here in the Leaders Portfolio studio today. I want to thank the sponsors of Leadership, Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Green Tree Surgeons, Riverwalk, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia. If you want the federal business community and D.C. area to know your business values, leadership, consider sponsorship of Leaders Portfolio. You can find this interview with Bo at leadersportfolio.com. We'll be back after this.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's K-O-W-A-L architects.com.
Are you a business leader who practices leadership? Apply for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Have a client who emphasizes leadership? Nominate their company for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Past winners include startups, as well as a company producing $150 million a year in revenue. Tune in to Leaders Portfolio with Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith on the air and online at leadersportfolio.com. For Leaders Portfolio Awards information, visit leadersportfolio.com.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.
Do you want others to know how your organization can help them? Then tell the business community why they need your business. Become a proud sponsor of Leaders Portfolio by calling 864-323-2600. By becoming a sponsor, you will be communicating directly with your target audience. Leaders Portfolio offers low-cost sponsorships for high impact, and Leaders Portfolio guarantees results. Let us tell you how by phoning 864-323-2600. That's 864-323-2600.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux-Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's coallarchitects.com.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.